Stupid thing.
I'm just having fun.
Seeing ghosts.
The Forgotten Camp.
We're on to Cincinnati. It's nothing about the past, nothing about the future. It's right now we're preparing for Cincinnati.
Hello, and welcome to a slightly different setup of the End Zone podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and these, I don't think these headphones are going to work. They just give me a massive headache, so I might have to change you over to a speaker really quick and just mute my microphone when I'm not talking. So now hopefully I can hear you. Well, now I'm muted, but now I can hear you a little better. This is Ryan McGinley. This is Eric Jensen. I should explain why I struggled to start there. I was in a bike accident where I thought there were some train tracks involved, and I thought I could merge horizontally, and my tire got kind of caught in the tracks, and I was sent flying to the concrete, thankfully wearing a helmet, but still bashed. I liken it to I took a sack, more or less, and just was driven into the ground on my shoulder, but my head took most of the brunt. So I'm still, last week was recovering from concussions, this week a bit more concussed, and they've told me, you know, stop going to school, stop looking at computer screens. So I'm not actually looking at a computer screen here. This is all just a recap. And of course that means I can't watch Game Pass because that is the absolute worst part of this. So I can't look at a screen for more than like 10 minutes, not 10 minutes, but like an hour at a time without getting a searing headache. So I did want to do a show, though, and I thought, you know, Ryan McGinley, it's been so long since I've chatted with you, and here we are. I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. I just want to ask, first off, how are you?
Well, since we've chatted, my Eagles have just gotten worse. My Sixers have gotten better, so the Philadelphia 76ers are what I will be hanging my hat on for the next couple months, starting in December. So sports-wise, you know, could be better, could be worse. But overall, tomorrow's Thanksgiving. We're recording on the day before Thanksgiving. So the holidays are the best time of the year, Eric, and we should have two half-decent games tomorrow. Maybe I'll shoot you a message on Twitter about them if you can't fully watch them. Hopefully they're not bad. It's going to be Alex Smith's comeback player of the year game. You can pin that now. But, you know, overall, not too bad.
Yeah, I listen to games now. Like, I put the covers over my head and turn up my television volume. And I listen to games auditorily now. But, I mean, I'm a college hoops guy, so I've been listening to college hoops today. Ooh. And, of course, you're a Philly guy. I mean, you must be over the moon. This Villanova team looks – Villanova's always legit, but this year they look extra good. Jalen Johnson, I believe. And
Yeah, they're coming back tonight. They got Cosby Roundtree. They still have an Archie Diacono somehow. Colin Gillespie's still like running around the court as the fake Archie Diacono. So they should be good this year. I think they've got the best odds to actually win the national championship. They start off the year ranked third. I think they play tonight, I think at 7:30, one of the two.
But, yeah, 7:30, Boston College. I will be tuning into that.
Oh, for sure. And I bet you don't realize how squeaky the courts are, and until you have a concussion, and then you're like, I wish these guys' shoes weren't so, you know, sticky to the court.
Memphis and St. Mary's was almost unbearable to get to. I had to turn it off at points, but Memphis took care of business. I really like this guy, Alex Lomac. He's not awesome, but he's fast.
He's not great, but like he's got some intangibles that
you. Yeah, I feel like that's a way. See, this is why I could never like analyze basketball, because I see dudes in college and I'm like, oh yeah, like you're awesome. Like, and I pick him out and I say, okay, he's really good in college, and people like agree with me. And then I'm like, well, okay, so he'll be like a first round pick in the NBA draft. And they're like, no way. Like, he'll be lucky if he even gets drafted, bro. Like, I thought Ryan Arcidiacono was like the next big thing, you know? And like, I just get really attached to these college. I mean, Frank Mason, I mean, oh, I miss Frank Mason. I thought he was going to be the real thing, and he was so good at Kansas, but he never clicked in the league. And then all these guys come out of nowhere. Like, you get guys like Anthony Edwards. Like, Georgia was dog shit last year. Like, they were terrible. I don't understand. I don't understand basketball prospects. I just don't get it.
Yeah, college basketball is interesting, because that's really where you see the one and done guys, and you don't really get a full view of them, because their first 10 games feel like they just don't exist, and then all of a sudden it's getting close to March Madness season. It's the guys that are there 4 years that you think like should be great in the NBA, but they're just those guys that might play in like Spain or Argentina, and you just kind of wish that they played more basketball.
And it's gonna be even worse this year, because eligibility is frozen.
Yep.
So Brad Davidson is going to have played at Wisconsin for exactly 8 years by the time this is all done. So but I mean, geez, I do like watching Wisconsin, even though the basketball is dead boring. But I do like watching Wisconsin. My teams are sort of Villanova, Kansas, Memphis, Utah, all the Utah teams, obviously.
Yeah.
And this year I'm tracking West Virginia closely. Plus okay. some others. Right.
Okay. Yeah. No,
I like Rutgers too. Rutgers and Iowa. Anyone, the Big Ten's just really good this year. So but we will this is not a college basketball podcast. So I had you on last time to talk about fantasy. I want to tell you, I got it's all luck. I mean, we've determined this. Yep. Because I'm so bad. But you know what my record is? I sit atop my league at 8-3.
Well, you see, you bring somebody who's a pseudo knowledgeable person about fantasy football on the podcast, and you know, good things happen. So
yeah, you get a little lucky.
The Joe Mixon thing, we don't have to talk about. He's still like running back 6 points per game. We're not going to talk about Joe Mixon.
I've made so many. The league I'm in is crazy, Ryan, and I love it. Guess how many trades we've made this year?
You specifically, or your entire league? Because
entire league.
When one person makes a trade, then everyone feels like they should be making a trade, and then it just goes haywire. So I'm very interested to actually hear the number on this.
I don't know if this is high or not, but it sounds high to me. 38 trades.
That's a lot of trades, especially
38 trades
in like a redraft league. Depending on how long you've had your league, all of a sudden everybody no longer trusts anybody, so no trades get made. I think there's been like 3 trades in my league that we've had for probably 10, 11 years now. So like no one expects to win a trade if they're offered it. So no trades actually get made. So 38 is a large number of trades.
Put that in perspective. The team I drafted at the beginning of the year, I have one player left, that is Austin Ekeler. And I traded away Austin Ekeler.
Oh, you got him back.
So I drafted Austin Ekeler,
yep,
traded him when he went to IR, and then got him back for like Kareem Hunt and some Jalen Reagor.
Okay.
towards the end because I had a surplus of running backs.
Beautiful.
So now he's coming back, and my team, I mean, if Julio could ruin everything, because if he's hurt, like, he could ruin everything. But if he gets healthy, I might stand a chance. And, I mean, I have Chase Claypool. And Chase Claypool, I don't know if you're aware, drops, like, 18 points a week at this point. Like, consistently.
Yeah.
And that's all I ever want from a fantasy player.
I'll get Deontay Johnson, who's also very good. Oh, I think in his 16-game pace where he starts games and finishes games, he is wide receiver 2. So, pretty good when he's out there. He had a little injury bug earlier, but at least we're not Juju Smith-Schuster team runners, because it's got to be frustating seeing the young two guys take away from Juju, who hasn't had a 100-yard season or a 100-yard game all season. So,
real football note, Bo.
Yep.
Real football note, not fantasy.
Yep.
It's amazing to me that he is somehow the 3 on that team now, but is still the most talented out of that group.
I think by far.
Am I wrong on that?
No, I think you're right. So my thought on that is he always sees the best corner. So the other two guys, like the gap between Juju and AB was pretty big, where the gap between Juju and these other two guys isn't as big. So Big Ben doesn't really have to force the ball to Juju if Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool or James Washington are open, or even Eric Ebron. So he sees the toughest coverage, I think, and then the other guys just get to feast because of it. So I really like Juju as a player, obviously. I don't think he's going to stay with the Steelers for his entire career. I think he's actually coming up on the end of being a Pittsburgh Steeler. I don't know when that's going to change, but the way Chase Claypool came on this year, when he was talked about at the combine, is like, maybe we should make him a tight end because he's not that quick. He's kind of built like a tight end, and he's just showing out as a top 3 rookie wide receiver right now. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm just incredibly – I don't know what to think about the Steelers, though. I just trust Patrick Mahomes above all else, but the Steelers, I mean – do you think they'll go 16-0? Like, I looked at the schedule. It's definitely doable. Like, it'll be hard, but, like, it's possible.
You know what's going to happen this week, right? The Steelers are going to lose this week.
I don't know. The Ravens look so bad right now.
Exactly. So, the Ravens look very suspect as a team. And this is going to be the classic. They'd move the game. We weren't prepared for it to be Sunday. We're preparing for Thursday. Like, it's going to be a mess if they lose. And naturally, in the way 2020 is working, it wouldn't shock me at all if the Steelers lost, just because that's how it's going. But they really do play a good game of football where their defense is great and they can keep up pretty much with any team offensively. But they don't have to because their defense is so good. I think they would struggle with Kansas City just because Kansas City's offense is, I think, better than the Steelers' defense, but that's really not a hindrance for the Steelers. I mean, the Steelers are a great defensive team, but with Patrick Mahomes, anything is possible. So I'm very interested to see how the rest of the season goes. Obviously, 16-0 is borderline impossible, but they are on the right track for it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's get to the main topic here. So I had you on because I wanted to talk the NFC. I mean, Trey Watkins, our fantastic Friday kind of co-host, Titans guy. I'm obviously a Broncos guy.
Yep.
We talk a lot of AFC. We talk a little bit of everything, but wanted to go and today focus strictly on the NFC. Because, one, both Thanksgiving games feature NFC teams.
Yep.
So we can do a little Thanksgiving preview, I thought, and then talk about kind of from bottom to top the NFC. And let's just start with the worst in the NFC, and I think I'll surprise you here.
All right.
I'm not going the NFC East. I'm going the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
because I threw on the highlights. Obviously, I can't watch the condensed, but I threw on the highlights of that Panthers game. And the fact that, and one, it speaks volumes to how good Matt Rhule is as a coach.
For sure.
But the fact you couldn't find a way to stop PJ Walker is, and more terribly, I get you don't have Kenny Golladay or DeAndre Swift in that game, but you still have Matthew Stafford. Like, you should not get no one should be getting shut out by the Panthers defense. It is so hard to have a shutout in the National Football League. And they did it with a terrible defense because the Lions are awful. And I have Lions fans I know that keep chirping me and keep saying, like, oh, Matt Stafford, he's still a top five quarterback. I don't know. Is he? Like, I just think that they've been, like, usually you can see it with the Lions. You can see the offense go and the defense just lets them down. But this year, like, both sides of the ball are just extremely mediocre and the defense is really bad. So,
yeah, I mean, with that team is brutal. So I was calling for Patricia to get fired like 3 or 4 weeks ago. He's just not the right fit in that city, I don't think. Granted, to me, the Lions are very similar to what we saw with the Chargers from like 2014 to 2018, where they just can't get healthy ever. It seems like they just are hurt every single week. But, I mean, that I don't know if there'd be too many games with different outcomes. I think they're keeping Patricia on because they can say, oh, we haven't been healthy and they don't want to make the move yet. But I don't know if they would win more games if Kenny Golladay played. I don't know if they'd win more games, you know, with DeAndre Swift played last week. They might be – they're without Golladay this week and Swift's questionable again. And if they get smoked on Thanksgiving, I think Patricia's gone. I don't understand why they're continuing to kind of do the same mistakes and expect a different result. I like Matt Stafford, right? He's a good stats quarterback with a big arm. He's a good leader, but for some odd reason, he just hasn't had it all work for him at the same time. He was a sneaky MVP candidate last year before he got hurt. He has not returned to that form. I don't know why, aside from Kenny Golladay not being there 90% of the year. Hopefully they get him a good year before it's all said and done for him. But the way it's looking right now is he's kind of Matt Ryan without the Super Bowl run. Like, you want to say he's a great quarterback, but what has he done for you besides put up numbers in a league that's conducive to putting up numbers? So hopefully they get something together. They get a good coach in there this offseason. But I think Detroit's just a snake-bitten organization. So I don't know if it's actually going to get any better.
Positives: T.J. Hockenson has emerged this year. He's looked very good. But I don't know if he's a top 10 tight end, but probably borderline.
I mean, in the current tight end landscape right now, he is. But I mean, he's a fringe guy. I mean, it's shocking that a guy that went to the same college as Noah Fant and George Kittle is a good tight end. I don't know why it took him this long to kind of figure it out. But, he's solid. I don't know if that's because they need him to be more of a volume guy, but I really like him after the catch. So, yeah, no, he definitely took a step forward this year. I'm just bitter I traded him for Damian Harris. That's my only bitterness towards T.J. Hockenson.
Woof. Yeah, the other thing that kind of concerns me with the Lions – is Jeff Okuda. I mean, guys like Daniel Jeremiah, like, I'm not a draft guy.
Right.
But guys like Daniel Jeremiah were like, this guy's going to be a plug-and-play all-pro for the next 10 years of his career. Yeah. And he's looked wholly average, like, in the games that he's been healthy. And he got picked on a few times this year against good quarterbacks. Like, I don't know. He kind of, Like, I think that's going to have to be like, we have to wait a year to see what happens under a new coaching staff. But like, I don't know. I don't like the way that that pick is ending up looking for them.
Yeah, I think with a better team around him, he'll look like a better cornerback. I feel like cornerback's probably the toughest position to come in and play in the NFL, because there's so many more rules and just restrictions. And instead of going against guys in the Big Ten, you're going against DeAndre Hopkins. And it's a tough position year one. That and tight end, I feel like, are tough for guys to come in and play. So hopefully we see a year two jump. Hopefully it's with a coach that's not a joke and they just take a step forward next year. They have to.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's rip the Band-Aid off and talk about the NFC East, which...
That's fine.
Here's a hot take.
Yeah.
Hot take. NFC East, not as wholly bad as the record says. I think you can look at each team and take away real positives moving forward and just say they got banged by having to play the NFC West. And just who's the AFC division they have to play? I know they have to play the NFC West.
So who do we have?
The North, right? Yeah, the North. So those are two tough divisions to play straight off the bat. So I do think the schedule kind of banged them a little bit.
Yep.
I we'll start with your Eagles. I mean, I'm pissed off, Angelo. I just I don't know, the whole I've been quiet on this, and I think you sent me a DM and you were like, well, don't chirp me too hard about the Eagles. And I was like, I'm not gonna do that, bro. Like, we both root for teams with terrible quarterbacks. Like, we're us bad teams, we gotta stick together. So us teams are gonna finish like 5-11. We gotta have each other's back.
Yeah,
but I mean, what has happened with Carson Wentz? Because in a way, you could see this coming, because he has kind of regressed every single year since the MVP season. But this year, it's been to another level of bad, to the point that I would argue that maybe two quarterbacks, including my quarterback in Drew Lock, have been worse than Carson Wentz, but no one else has been worse than him.
Yeah,
so he's bad is what
with Wentz, it's very confusing that they let this get this far. But this organization, since his injury, has done no favors to the kid, and that's really why he's not succeeding, and it's unfortunate. So from 2017, obviously the injury, he's got a whole offseason of rehab while all of his teammates are celebrating a Super Bowl. That's fine. Lots of guys get banged up. He then comes back. There's a statue of the guy that replaced him. He has to pass it every time he walks in. I guess that's okay. It's a weird move to put a statue up the year after. Whatever. That's fine. You're in 2018 now, breaks his back. Breaks his back early. He breaks his back, I think, 3 or so weeks into the season. He plays through it for a couple weeks. He goes down. He gets shut down. They put the other guy in who they've got the statue of. Marginal run, but there's the chirps that, hey, maybe this guy can be the starting quarterback. The guy that we thought we had isn't healthy enough to play. Whatever. They sign Wentz to the big deal. They move on from Foles. They lose their offensive coordinators. They lose their right-hand men to Wentz. They had a couple different coaches that have gotten new jobs because the offense has been good. Whatever. They then draft a second-round quarterback, which was probably the worst thing that it could have done. There's a reason why Aaron Rodgers was mad that they used a pick on a first-round quarterback. But Wentz isn't the type of guy to be out in the public angry about a pick like that, just because it's just his human nature. But it's like saying, hey, we hired this guy. He does the same job as you, and we're paying him like $1,000 less to do your role, but he's not going to take your job. Like you sit there and you say, but he could take my job, and they don't trust me to do my job. And like, it's frustrating to see Wentz deal with this, just because in 2017, he was the best quarterback in the NFL before injury. So I'm afraid that we're getting close to a point of no return with him. And because of that, they're either going to move him or they're going to need to do something, because the worse he plays and with the schedule they have coming up, he's going to play worse. They're going to have to answer some tough questions. And once Jalen Hurts goes in, it's very tough for Carson Wentz to recover as a quarterback, at least in Philadelphia. So hopefully they figure it out, but I'm not very optimistic how it currently is.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also lazy to point just the finger at Carson Wentz, because
Doug Peterson's been an absolute joke of a play caller.
But I also want to point the finger at the GM, because for the past 3 years, pretty much every offseason by the quote-unquote experts, and I mean, you look at the roster on paper and right. You say, oh, like Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, oh, look at their corners. They've got some good safeties, Rodney McLeod. Like, this team's got one of the best defenses. I mean, I can't tell you how many times Greg Rosenthal says, oh, look at the Eagles defense. They're just like one of the most stacked units in the entire NFL. Like, okay, but are they really? Because over the past 3 years, I mean, I would argue this year especially, Fletcher Cox has not been as much of a difference maker. I would argue the pass rush has not been as good. I would argue that the defense has at points been a liability. I would argue that Darius Slay has regressed a little bit. I just think there are issues. They kind of went all in, and Howie Roseman went all in for that Super Bowl run. And you did it. You got a Super Bowl, but you're in cap hell consistently now. You can't figure out how to get like reliable weapons for your quarterback. And you have like major health issues. Your training staff, I worry about. Like, I hate being like throwing that take out there, but like their training staff is just cannot be trusted. It seems like they lose a guy before the season starts every single year. And it's not just one, it's like their entire offensive line. Like, I think they need a tear down from the top down. I think they just need Howie Roseman gone, Doug Peterson gone, Carson Wentz gone. And I mean, they need to restart. Like, the worst thing I think that can happen to the Philadelphia Eagles is they make the playoffs. Because if you as an Eagles fan have suffered through a season where you're going to get 5 wins and somehow win the division with that and get screwed out of a top 15 pick, like, that's brutal. And that means that next year you have to sign up for, you know, a 3-13 season with a worse roster overall, where you can't just point to the quarterback and coaching. You feel what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
but like so, making the playoffs for them to me is the worst case scenario.
No, I agree. I don't want them to have an excuse to not call out the people that are making the mistakes. From just a personnel perspective, I think Howie's been okay. I don't think he's been great, but I also don't think he's if I had to rank the issues within this team, I think it's got to be Peterson first, Roseman second, Wentz third, because the first two guys have not put Wentz in a situation to where he can succeed. So the first major issue that I have with how Howie's kind of created this team is, so we drafted Andre Dillard for all intents and purposes to be the left tackle of the future. Not only did he look poor when he started, he looks like he's going to be a bust for sure. I'm concerned that he's now going to be in a contract year because he's been on the bench because he hasn't been good enough to get a job, that they're going to have to pay him. On top of that, because he's looked bad, they've had to bring Jason Peters back. They brought him back to play guard. Andre Dillard got hurt in training camp, and they needed to move Peters to tackle. Peters got hurt. They brought in Jordan Mailata, the seventh-round Australian rugby player who looked 1,000 times better than Jason Peters, right? But for some odd reason, Howie Roseman continues to go back to Jason Peters because he's been the tackle for I don't even know how many years at this point, like 10 or so, probably even more than that. And they just continue to give that man money. I think they gave him $16 million to play tackle. So they said, you know what, my lotto looked better, but we'll go back to Peters. I saw in the Browns game this past week, so the Eagles get the ball downed at the one. They now have to get off the one-yard line, right? Naturally, the first play, run play, Jason Peters gets burnt inside, Miles Sanders for no gain. Second play, same exact thing. Jason Peters gets burnt, Miles Sanders, no gain. Third play, Jason Peters gets burnt. It's third down. You need to have a pass play. Carson Wentz gets crushed in the end zone for a safety, and that was essentially the dagger in that football game. Jordan Mailata is healthy, and Howie Roseman makes the game. He essentially sets the lineups for the Eagles, and the way that the power is structured within the Philadelphia Eagles organization is wrong, and it's not conducive to winning offensive games. Doug Peterson doesn't know what he's doing as a play coach and play coordinator. They don't have an offensive coordinator to pair with him. We literally do not have an offensive coordinator. If you Google Philadelphia offensive coordinator, there is none, because they fired him in the offseason and did not bring anyone in. They brought in some like advisors to Doug Peterson, but from watching Peterson as a coach, he's not someone who can manage personnel and manage actual game script and adjustments. He goes in there with a cookie cutter design of an offense and says, whatever's happening in this game, this is what I'm running. And it's frustrating as an Eagles fan, but those two guys, Howie and Doug, are the main culprits to me. Howie's gotten on some unlucky bounces. Obviously, he stinks at drafting wide receivers. Marquise Goodwin opted out of the season. And DeSean Jackson, for some odd reason, just doesn't exist anymore. I don't know what happened to him. He was a week-to-week guy, and then all of a sudden, we just don't hear about him anymore. Alshon Jeffrey is maybe the worst contract in all of football because they should have been able to move on from him this year. Howie restructured it, $27 million dead cap hit this year. So I don't know what they're doing as an organization. I feel bad for Wentz, but I know that if he gets traded to somebody like the Colts or your Broncos, he's going to be a lot more like 2017 Wentz than he is like 2020 Wentz.
I don't want him, though.
Listen.
It's not just bad. Like, his mechanics are broken.
Right? Oh, no. His throwing motion is bad. But
like that pick he has to Taki Taki is like one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen in my entire life. The decision making to throw the ball in that situation.
I agree, but he was also getting so on that play. I believe it was a Texas stunt from the defensive tackle, where the defensive tackle obviously comes over the defensive end and gets in the face of the quarterback, if possible, but he should get picked up by either the left tackle or the left guard. Jason Peters just fanned on him, and it was an obvious check down panic throw. If Wentz has more time, he reads that better. Hopefully they figure that out, but what do I know? I just watched the games.
Yeah, it's definitely definitely rough. But I mean, I believe you. I think that Carson Wentz can be better somewhere else. I just would not. Just don't want to gamble. I mean,
as a Broncos fan, you're probably sick of the quarterback gamble, so I don't blame you.
Like, let him go somewhere else. Like, I don't know. If the Patriots were ever to move on from Cam, that would kind of make sense.
If he goes to Indianapolis with Frank Reich, he will immediately return to being a very good to great quarterback, and I can say that confidently.
That makes sense. All right, so the rest of the NFC East, I mean, is it crazy? I'm sick. Like, I watched a little bit. I watched the Vikings highlights.
Right.
I think the Cowboys are going to win the division. Like, I know that's crazy, but, like, there's – like, Andy Dalton is starting to figure it out, and they've got enough talent offensively, and the defense is getting just average at this point. Like, they can win the division.
No, I agree. I don't see – if Andy Dalton just runs that offense the way they intend that offense to look, he's going to be more than fine. And it wouldn't shock me if they finish over 500.
Wow. Really? That would take a miracle.
wouldn't shock me. I mean, they've got the Eagles again. They've got the Giants again. And they've got Washington on Thursday. So there's three games that are very winnable.
I think Washington is the second best team.
I agree. I think Washington has been kind of sneaking around in the weeds. They've got probably the best head coach in the division.
And it's crazy to say, but Alex Smith just gives them a much better chance to win than
Kyle. Yeah, I mean, it's similar to Andy Dalton, where he just needs to run the offense. Ron Rivera's been here before. Terry McLaurin's a superstar. Antonio Gibson is molding right into form, and I think he's going to be a very good back in the league. Their defense is, you know, pretty solid, but you don't have to be a great team in the NFC East. You just have to be a pretty decent team. And luckily for me, I won't have to hear that the Eagles are in first place anymore on Monday night, and no one will have to hear that, because whoever wins the Washington-Dallas game will technically be in first place.
Yeah, I kind of think that game is like for the division almost, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree.
I've just been impressed with how good, like, Washington's defense is. They have a fifth-rated pass defense. Like, I've been shocked at how good – like, their corners are not, like – the names are not there, but, like, their corners are playing really well right now.
Yeah, you know who the one corner is? He's ex-Philadelphia Eagle Ronald Darby, who he let go in the offseason. So if that has to tell you anything about our talent evaluation and our schemes, that's all you need to know, because I think he's fifth in coverage, according to PFF. So pretty good cornerback that we just let walk. Yeah, I think Washington really does have a good chance. If I had to, like, set just a guess of who wins the division, I think I've got to go, like, 35% Cowboys. I've got to go, like, 20-20 for the Eagles in Washington. What does that put me at? 30? No, because then, yeah, and then, like, no, I'll put 25% for Eagles in Washington, 35% for the Cowboys, and then 15% for the Giants. This division stinks on ice, but anybody can win it. So it's going to at least be an exciting finish. But, yeah, I really do think Washington's just as good as the Eagles. And, I mean, they beat the Eagles week one, and they came back down 17 on the Eagles in week one. And
that's
all you need to know.
Say something nice about the Giants. I mean, I was on Joe Judge from day one. I think
Joe Judge is corny, right?
Kind of made fun of me for that, but, like, I think he's a good – like, they never get blown out. Like, they always play tight. Like, they're a really well-coached team.
Their defense is underrated. Bradbury is one of the best corners in the league that no one really talks about. Their defense is pretty good. honestly, if they had Alex Smith, they would be a front runner in this division. I really think their offense is good, even with the loss of Saquon. Gallman stepped in and looked pretty good. Their pass catching options are getting healthy. Golden Tate's gone, who demands the ball more than he really deserves at this point. So I'm glad to see that, like, Sterling Shepard is eating, Darius Slayton's getting the ball. They finally figured out that Evan Engram, when in space, is a very good tight end. So I think the Giants, with the right quarterback, would be a very good team. It just comes down to Jones turning the ball over, and it's just a tale as old as time.
Yeah, okay. So now to the more kind of playoff teams, I really think that the middle team – I do think that the seeding is obviously up in the air, but I think everywhere except that NFC East spot, I think the playoffs are locked in. Everybody who's in them today, I just don't see any way they don't finish the playoffs. I don't like the Bears at all. They're really bad. The Vikings had their shot against the Cowboys, and they couldn't take care of business. That, to me, that game was kind of their season.
Yep.
They blew it. The refs are just like – the Panthers, they're good, but, I mean, they're well coached. But
right.
If the Panthers had Teddy, I'd be really high on the Panthers. But
yeah,
I think he's going to miss enough time where it's going to be out of it. But – if he had been there for – if he doesn't miss these next 2 to 3 weeks, like, I do think they are a potential 9-7. They can slide in and be the seventh spot. Because they're just a really good offensive team, and they'll get Christian McCaffrey back at some point, maybe. Who knows? But
I think he practiced – I think he returned to practice this week, but I would hold him out another week if I was them. Just – based on the fact that he came back for one game and got hurt pretty much. So I would just hold him out for sure.
Right. So the Cardinals, I guess, like, just the NFC West in general.
Right.
I worry about the Cardinals because I think Kyler Murray actually got pretty hurt on Thursday night. Like, they might not be letting on a ton, but, like,
right,
he just did not look great Thursday night.
No, yeah, that looked like a classic rotator cuff or collarbone injury. I think he's going to play through it. I don't know if that's going to be great. I do like their run game, though. I think that Kenyon Drake is better than people talk about in the fantasy Twitter scape. I think he's like fifth or sixth in rushing yards this year. So he's not exactly a slouch running back. And Chase Edmonds is dynamic out of the backfield. But they were an offense that is based on getting the ball downfield pretty quickly and those big chunk plays with their athletes. Hopefully Kyler's fine. Right. I think he really stepped into his own this year. He's better than I ever thought he would be. Honestly, I thought he was not as good as people were talking about. And he's an elite quarterback in this NFL. So I really like where he's going. Hopefully his shoulder's good. But that's something big time to monitor this week against the Patriots, because, you know, the Patriots, even when they're not good, they know how to exploit things like a shoulder injury on a quarterback. So that's definitely the thing to watch this week.
Yeah. The defense to me is a little bit suspect. I know they rank up there in DVOA, but like, here's the difference. To start the year, Patrick Peterson kind of bounced back a little bit. I thought at least, like, the first 3-4 weeks, like, it was like, oh, good, Patrick Peterson's back. And over the past month, it's just gotten to the point where it's like, why is this guy starting? Like,
I know,
an absolute liability. Like, I mean, the way, like, look no further than like what DK Metcalf, like, I mean, DK Metcalf does to that to everybody, but like,
Yeah.
Patrick Peterson was made to look like a child.
It was very
DK Metcalf. He was humiliated on national television. So I don't really, I worry. Buda Baker's played awesome, but I mean, I worry a little bit about the defense. Although Isaiah Simmons, they're starting to use him more now. And he's kind of coming on a little bit. So that might be a nice boost for them towards the end of the season, but I worry about the corners.
Yeah. Peterson, I'm not going to overreact with how DK played against him just because that dude is the most intimidating wide receiver in the NFL right now. So I think the previous matchup DK was held to like one or two catches. So hopefully Peterson's fine. He's definitely slower than he's had to rely more on technique. But their corners are very, very suspect after Peterson for sure. I mean, Lockett in that other game that they played went for 15,203 on the other guy. So hopefully their defense figures it out a little bit and they can kind of weather the storm if Kyler's not 100%. I think they've got pieces there. Like I really do like Jordan Hicks at linebacker for them. So I think that they can make a run, honestly, as a team.
Yeah, I mean, they have the weapons offensively to keep up with anybody, I think. It's just a matter of how serious that injury is, because I do think there is an injury, and I just worry, like, Kyler Murray did not look like himself after that.
No.
Like, he didn't run as much, and that's a huge part of his game. And I mean, the deep ball wasn't there for him, and that's the other part of his game. Like, I truly believe that his deep ball probably rivals, you know, there have been some great deep ball throwers this year, but his is like up there. It used to be kind of just Russ and Patrick Mahomes, but Justin Herbert, I think, has entered the conversation
for sure.
And Kyler Murray is definitely in my group too. So, if he's limited to shorter stuff, like that's not really his game. They're kind of a big play offense, but
yeah,
if they're not getting big plays, honestly, I could not be less impressed by Cliff Kingsbury. Like he's still like he more than any other coach in the NFL just calls tunnel screens to nowhere. Like, so I worry about that a little bit, especially if that's what their game devolves into, because they cannot win if they just throw tunnel screens to nowhere. That's what happened in that Panthers game earlier this year, is they just got into this habit of just throwing tunnel screens to nowhere. So hopefully he has gotten out of his tunnel screens to nowhere phase. The Seahawks.
They're a good team, but I don't, they're at a weird crossroads right now.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously they're
going to load up just a little bit.
Yeah. Obviously they are not looking as good as they were previously. I think that's fine. They probably could use a couple road bumps to kind of get through it. And they're always a tough out in the playoffs. I mean, it's just how they work. They're just a very good, sound football team. And Wilson usually doesn't make mistakes in big spots, just generally. Aside from getting told he had to throw the ball instead of handing it off to Marshawn, they are a pretty sound, well-coached, well-rounded football team where their defense is starting to come on because they were putrid to start the season. And I think that they're always going to be a tough out. I love the Arizona-Seattle games, and it's a shame that we already got the two regular season games out of the way. Hopefully they meet in the playoffs at some point, but can't always be lucky.
Yeah, I am interested because I think their defense has improved a lot.
Yeah.
And that's obviously good. I think that Russ probably takes another step up in November, especially since they've figured out like the running game starting to work a little bit more now. So it's a more balanced attack. I mean, he's put them in a really good position. So I just think that they probably win down the stretch and end up being like two or three seed. One seed seems kind of out of the realm of possibility to me, just because I think you're going to have to be 14-2 to be a one seed. I really do. Especially in the NFC. It's just stacked at the top. So you're going to have to be 14-2, 13-3.
Yeah.
And I just see one more loss for them probably, but I think that 12-4 spot's kind of where you're going to be. And who knows? I mean, we'll talk about the Saints in a bit, but who knows? They might just win out. So that's kind of the NFC West, NFC South. Let's just talk about the Saints here.
Yep.
The Saints, I've been on a weird roller coaster with, because I think you were on during the offseason a lot. I hyped this team up a lot. I bought what they were selling. And I'll be honest, I sort of abandoned them at the worst possible time. Like, it got to that week against the Panthers. I don't know if you remember that game a few weeks back in the Superdome where Joey Sly misses the field goal by just
inches.
And at that point, you know, PJ Williams looked terrible. Marshawn Lattimore looked terrible. The whole defense looked terrible. There were Drew Brees issues. And then kind of after that game, the defense just got slowly better and better. And then they culminate with 8 sacks against Matt Ryan last week. And you look up and you're like, oh, yeah, this is what they were hyping up all offseason. Like, the pieces are there. DeMario Davis is a baller. Cam Jordan is starting to play like a defensive player of the year. Marcus Davenport's stepping up. I mean, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is that dude. He's an awesome safety for them. And the corners look better. PJ Williams has improved somehow over the past few weeks. And I think Dennis Allen has gotten out of his own way in the way he calls the defense. And suddenly, if the Saints have a good defense, which was what the whole Super Bowl hype was predicated on the whole time, like, if the defense is good, I don't care who you have at quarterback. Like, you have Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas is starting to come into his own. Emmanuel Sanders has been exactly what they've asked him to be. Like, they should be the Super Bowl favorites, I think, out of the NFC. Like, they just should be, because I look at the team and I see very few weaknesses. I know some people don't buy Taysom Hill, but I hate Taysom Hill, and I still think he's good enough to get them to 13-3 and give them a one seed. And then who knows what happens in the playoffs with Drew Brees. I mean, I turned on the NFL app today and there were Peyton Manning highlights in front of me. So of course I had to watch those. And like, people forget during that 2016 season, like, his arm was shot, but during the playoffs, like, Peyton Manning came to play and like made throws against the Ravens, made throws against the Patriots, made throws in the Super Bowl, like two or three throws. And that's all you really need is like two or three throws a game. And I think Drew Brees can still do that. And if they go with Taysom the rest of the way, I think Taysom can do that. I don't know. Am I alone in thinking this? I have 100% belief in the Saints, and I really don't see any team. No team outside of the Seahawks has as full of a belief for me in the NFC.
Yeah, I think with Taysom Hill at quarterback, they looked a lot better, and that's gross because I too also hate Taysom Hill. He's brutal.
Maybe I don't hate Taysom Hill. It's just the way Sean Payton insists on using him. Like,
yeah, and like, he might have been right. We might have all been wrong about Taysom Hill, which is the most unfortunate part about it. But what are you gonna do? I think he made the offense back to looking dynamic, and everyone wanted Jameis Winston, and Hill seemed to be the right call. I mean, obviously we didn't see Jameis, so can't really compare it to anything, but Hill looked good. And if he has to play an extended time, their offense is going to be fine. Unfortunate for Alvin Kamara fantasy owners who were loving every single check down that he got. But it was the first time I think Alvin Kamara has never had a catch in a game with Taysom Hill. So it's a very interesting offense when Hill's there. So the Eagles have to play them, and I'm less confident than I was previously in a win, and previously it was not very confident at all. I think he'll kind of rejuvenize that team, and they've got one of the best rush defenses in the league. Plus, I mean, Marshawn Lattimore's a freak. Malcolm Jenkins is kind of washed, but he's a leader. So that defense is, you know, probably better than it's been the last couple of years. So if their offense is on par with what they've been, they could also definitely make a run. For sure. I really can't argue with that.
Yeah, I just really like him. I do think Alvin Kamara gets more involved. I think that was kind of a 1 week thing. There's no way Sean Payton wastes what Alvin Kamara is good at, which is being a receiver as well. Like, I would argue he's a top five running back and a top five wideout in the NFL. Like, his route running is really great, and I just don't think he's going to take him out of the play. Like, it doesn't matter. Sean Payton's smarter than that. So I think we're going to see a lot more of Alvin Kamara receptions down the stretch. The Buccaneers, very curious case. I don't know. Did they peak too early?
I think it's a very similar situation to the Saints, but they don't have a Taysom Hill wild card. Brady has been putrid throwing the ball downfield, and the way that Arians is calling plays is interesting. I think I saw the stat, they only had three guys in motion all — what was that, Sunday, Monday, whenever they played? They only had three motion plays where there was somebody moving around. So it's been very obvious. Hopefully they figure it out. I really do like Tom Brady. I'm a big fan of giant legacies like that. I'm a big fan of greatness. I don't want him to go out kind of in a negative look. I think they are a very good team, and similar to the Saints, their run defense is the best one currently, or it's top three. So they've got some very solid tangibles. They just kind of need to figure out a balance because they can't have Tom Brady throw 95%. I mean, they ran the ball, I think, five times 2 weeks ago, which is the lowest all time. So hopefully they figure out more of a balance, because their running backs are decent. I mean, they've got a good pairing of running backs. They just don't have an offense that kind of suits how those two guys run. So I think they're a good team.
Yeah, I trust Tom Brady above all else. So I can't really pick against him. And the offense looks fine still. They're like, everybody's getting involved. Like, Antonio Brown looks like he's clicking. They're so close to finishing games, but they're not great at finishing games. I don't have a ton of takes on them, actually. I think they'll be a playoff team, but I kind of think they might get knocked out early. A team I do have takes on, I really like this Rams team. I think the defense is legit, and I think the offense is — I know it's — everybody likes to point at what was it now, that like 2017 Rams offenses, the offense like blew up. Like, to me, this one might be better because it's balanced. Like, they run the ball a lot, but also when they need games where Jared Goff has to throw for like 300 yards, he can give it to him. Cooper Kupp looks awesome. Robert Woods looks awesome. Josh Reynolds looks awesome. They've kind of gone away from Tyler Higbee a little bit, but he's still a weapon that they have. I just really like the Rams. I just think they're well coached, and I think the second run around, Jared Goff's going to be better. I think that the experience you gain as a quarterback from losing in a Super Bowl is irreplaceable. Like, I just think that if they make the playoffs, they're going to go on a run. Like, to me, they are a team that
I would expect to see kind of in that NFC finals game in late January.
Yeah, I mean, all these teams that are kind of making a push, their defenses are getting better. I mean, the Rams have one of the best defenses in the league, obviously led by Aaron Donald, but Jalen Ramsey, of course. Their defense is legit. I really do think that they're a strong out. I mean, it's going to be tough to beat that team because you've got to put up points against that defense after their offense is putting up points. So I really like the optics for them. If I could choose the four teams that I'd like to see out of the NFC, I think the Rams would have to be one of them. I think it'd be Seattle, Arizona, and after that, I guess the Saints. Just as an Eagles fan, it's tough to see the Saints continue to succeed, but I think those would be the four most exciting teams to at least watch in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would pretty much agree with that list. I think the only team, thank you for giving me so much of your time. We can wrap up here. The only team left really to talk about is the Packers. And they're just such a weird team to me because on one hand, I think they're a lot better than last year's team, especially offensively. Like offensively, I think it's undeniable that they're a top five offense. And Aaron Rodgers is playing at the height of his power, but they just have a hard time going on the road, I think. And they have a hard time finishing games on the road, and they don't look to be a one seed. So I just worry that it might kind of be a division round exit for them this year. I like the weapons they have. I mean, Alan Lazard's returning, and which we have to remember is before he got hurt, Alan Lazard looked amazing. Like the 2 weeks before he got hurt, like he looked like he had taken the jump forward and was going to be a true number two wide receiver for them. And if he's clicking and they can move MVS to kind of a three where they don't have to rely on him as much, that's a pretty nice trio that you have there. I don't trust the defense at all. They are one of the defenses that hasn't improved.
Yeah.
They're just still kind of the same thing. So that's worrisome to me. But I just really trust Aaron Rodgers being angry, and I just think he's angry, and I don't know. To me, they are my four teams that I think could be in that final four. I think it's the Saints, the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Packers. I think the Packers are going to be there, and it'll be interesting to see where they end up seeding, because I do think having a home game that wild card weekend is going to be really important for them.
Oh, definitely. Especially with they've got a rough run defense, and all these other teams that could make a run have pretty good rush offenses. You know, Chris Carson, obviously Arizona, I think is number one in the league rushing. Alvin Kamara is obviously an absolute freak, and they've got Latavius Murray. They're going to need to shore that up 100% because if teams can just run the ball down their throat come playoff time, it's going to be real tough for them to win games.
Yeah, so I think we did it. I think we covered the NFC. thank you for joining me. Is there anything?
Of course.
We don't have to go through the whole AFC, but is there anything you want to get off your chest AFC-wise?
Listen, no, because all I do is watch the NFC and get sad because my Eagles are just absolutely trash.
Gotcha.
Glad to see Herbert look good. Hopefully your team finds a quarterback. I'm not too sure that Drew Lock's a future. Actually, I'm pretty sure that he's not. But
I've given
up. Yeah, if I had to guess, he's not. But, the NFC is enough of a headache for me. On top of all your migraine headaches, I'm sure the AFC has been a headache for you as well.
I like the AFC. I mean, I think it's still the Chiefs.
Yep.
But I sneaky low. Oh, I was going to mention this during our Eagles segment, but how much does it suck
as an Eagles fan, that to me, one of the biggest stories of 2020, and I cover the Raiders. I don't know if you know where
I'm going. Yeah, it's Nelson Agholor.
But like, the fact Nelson Agholor got put on the Raiders and is like consistently, not elite, but like consistently like a wide receiver too, every single week, basically.
Yeah.
Never dropped anything. Never, like, nothing ever goes wrong for Nelson Agholor.
Anymore. Yeah. He, the Raiders realized that you should use a fast wide receiver down the field more. So that's very impressive, due to the fact that I think his average yards per catch are almost double, this year than it was, at any point with the Eagles. So, yeah, it's frustrating to see. He was the clubhouse leader. I think he still is the leader in receiving yards by a wide receiver from Carson Wentz, which is a fun little tidbit to take home.
Absolute demente. All right. Well, this might
connecting, which is awesome. But – thank you so much for joining us, Ryan. It was a ton of fun. Say hello to Jonders for me. I don't understand.
I will.
What happened there? But say hello and best wishes.
Your guess is better than mine.
And,
of course.
Yeah, we'll let you. Oh, plug yourself. You know, promote.
You know,
and we can get out of here.
Yeah. I'm at Bootleg Fantasy on Twitter. ClimbThePocket.com is the website that I run. We're on YouTube, Climb the Pocket, Twitter, Climb the Pocket. Everything's, you know, the same, makes everything easy. Just search Climb the Pocket anywhere, and you'll find us. So it's always a pleasure to jump on with you, Eric. I hope the head heals. Hope you get out of protocol pretty soon, and back on the What's the horse? Back on the saddle.
Get back on the horse.
Back on the saddle. Back on the horse.
Sure, that's the saying.
Yeah. So I hope that happens soon, right in time for football this week. I don't know if that's too soon, but maybe Monday Night Football, you watch my Eagles get thrashed. So
yeah, maybe. I kind of doubt that though. Who do they play this week?
Seattle. So
yikes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like watching Russ more than most things in life. So yeah, I'll probably be tuned in. All right. We'll be back Friday. And keep an eye out for the Saints Twitter podcast, which I'll be on later today. Thank you very much, Ryan. Best of luck to Villanova tonight. We'll see you later.
Got tip off in about an hour. Well, almost 2 hours, but you know, it'll be a great game. Great to have sports back.
Peace out, guys. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.